It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And our next guest is going to explain the links between the two, but also what the world means on a day like this, a real life example. Easton Wood was the captain of the Bulldogs when they won their premiership back in 2016, and he's now a retired footballer, but he is on his way to the MCG today to watch the Bombers and the Magpies, and he joins us now on SEN. Easton, thanks very much for your time.
No worries. Thanks a lot for having me.
Now, I remember when you retired, you said you just physically declined. How are you feeling now physically?
Much fresher, mate. Much fresher. But yeah, towards the end of my time, I just started to notice, started to athletically decline a little bit in terms of speed and power. And whilst I thought I could probably make a way to carve out a role, it just kind of felt that, you know what, if I can't be at my best, then probably time to hang them up. So I did.
It's been a couple of years now. What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, we actually took a bit of time off the 12 months after. My wife and I were pretty burnt out after the COVID period, to be fair, and needed a bit of time to decompress. We had two young kids, 14 months apart during COVID, and thought, let's get out of here and get out of Melbourne. We were a bit jaded by everything, so we actually moved to Bali and lived there for 6 months.
Right.
Yeah, so it was nice to get that freedom, and then came back to reality, and I've been working in a corporate role for a recruiting company. Recruiting, accounting, and finance roles now, so a bit of a change, really, really enjoying the 9-to-5 and having a bit of spare time on weekends with the kids.
I wanted to ask you about that. Someone that goes from a professional footballer to a proper job, a 9-to-5 job, an adult job. What's it like, being so different? I guess your world these days.
Well, it just takes time. Like, there's a lot of transferable skills you learn from football and, and performance in particular and being in teams. But, there's a lot of things that I had to adapt to. And, I'd never really written emails before, so I had to dust that off and figure out how to write proper English. It was just been a nice shift. It's been challenging at the start. I mean, because you go from being a subject matter expert and working for, 0.1% of gain, to now trying to build an entire new foundation. So that's a very different process. And, I suppose I thought I was tired after pre-season. So, I got home after my new job and just all the winning, my brain was absolutely fried.
Yeah.
But it was good.
So without getting sort of too deep and meaningful, what's it like going from a footballer, a professional athlete, to someone in the workforce 9-to-5 from a family point of view? Do you feel you're a better dad, a different dad, a better husband because you've got the structure of a 9-to-5 job and not the pressure of an athlete, or is it the other way around?
No, absolutely. So the one thing about to be successful in football, you have to be inherently selfish, and it has to come first, and the needs of that have to come first. So having that removed certainly makes it a lot more room to be actually put the family first and have that time apart, set aside for them and be able to prioritise it. So, I'm really enjoying that change of pace and being able to be a little bit more relaxed and less neurotic, I suppose, with
We're talking to Easton Wood, former Western Bulldogs Premiership captain, who is going to the footy today. But, Easton, the reason we wanted to talk to you is to sort of broaden out and get a bit more perspective attached to Anzac Day rather than who's going to win this afternoon, Essendon or Collingwood, sure. Because you've got a brother that serves overseas, and representing Australia overseas. Firstly, I'd love to know his name and where he's currently serving.
Sure. So he's Lieutenant Colonel McLeod Wood. So he's done quite well to climb up the ranks these days. He's done three active tours over his time. So two tours in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. And he's currently based in...
Oh, we've just lost Easton there. I think he might even be on the train on the way into the MCG. We might just try and get Easton back because this is an important part of why we want to talk to Easton. So his brother's name is McLeod, and as I said, he just said he served three times overseas. So we've got Easton back now. Sorry, Easton, we just lost you when you were talking about McLeod and where he's served or where he is currently serving.
So he's Lieutenant Colonel at JRC at the moment. Two in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. So yeah, quite decorated.
So when he is serving overseas in some pretty dangerous places, what's that like for a family?
Well, it was so the first time he went away, he would have been 22, and I was, I think, at the time 19. So he was serving in Darwin at that point. So we flew up to Darwin to say goodbye because he only found out 24 hours before that he was going over. Whirlwind, and growing up as two brothers, you kind of fight your whole existence, and give each other a fair bit of a hard time. And then going up to fly and say goodbye, it was one of those moments of geez, we kind of all hit at that point of like, I don't want this to be the last time. I don't want you to go. And it was quite I wasn't prepared for that, I suppose, at the time. And he was away for 10 months, and you're going to get certain amount of contact here and there. It was always a stressful period, one you're very proud of, but one that I'm certainly glad he's not over there. I'm not actively serving in a conflict zone at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it goes without saying about what dangers are attached to that sort of role. Is the family more nervous about things than actually McLeod, who is doing it? Obviously, there needs to be an element of bravery and courage, a significant element of that, to go and do what he does. But just sometimes it's almost like the family are the ones that are more nervous than the person that's actually doing it.
Oh, absolutely, because he's trained his whole life to do it, so he wants to execute his skills and serve. So he's very black and white in that manner and very good at what he does. It's certainly the family that does all the stressing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. So is that it for him now? Has he done what he wants to do in relation to being a serviceman, or would he go back into combat or back into that sort of role in the future?
Well, I suppose that all depends on what happens around the world. But
yeah, that's a good point.
He's very... very committed. He's keen to get command of a unit at some point. That's his goal, to be promoted to colonel. So he's on that pathway, which is great. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him just keep climbing as he has done already.
Right. Okay. So you were talking before about how you can take elements of sport in a professional environment and take it into the business world. What about what he does, taking it into the sports world in relation to the teamwork, executing under pressure, those sorts of things? Have you spoken to McLeod much about how, particularly when you were playing, as to how you could actually learn things to take to your teammates at the Western Bulldogs?
Yeah, we used to speak all the time, and particularly when I became captain of the club, we'd speak in great detail about certain things that were happening or decisions that needed to be made, and he was always a great sounding board for that. We're obviously operating very, very different spheres where, I suppose my skill set and strengths as a captain was coming from a point of empathy and understanding and getting to know and, I suppose taking the time to understand what was happening, whereas in, I suppose, his sphere doesn't have that luxury and it just needs to be order, execute and what's required. So we had some really great discussions around that. He probably helped me be a bit more efficient at times, not get bogged down, which is probably, something that I could get into. But, he yeah, we've certainly had fantastic discussions around that over a long period of time.
Yeah, I could imagine. So we see in sport now, Easton, that it feels like not so much that people are more attached to their feelings. I'm trying to think of a way of putting it, but, you know, the way that Craig McRae coaches Collingwood and the way that they become so vulnerable to each other. Richmond certainly went through that when they had a very successful period. When it comes to the Army, has leadership and the way things have done, has that changed as well, or is it still done pretty much the same way because it isn't sport?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure I'd be able to answer that, to be fair, not being in there. But, look, it's a very, very different sphere. And I suppose we, in football, we have that luxury of time and we have that luxury of it not being, you know, we say, you know, win at all costs.
But yeah, that's right.
It's just not that. So it was quite funny. Early days, you know, a lot of the you know, football gets compared a lot to going to battle and all that kind of thing. And it used to make me quite uncomfortable as a young guy when, you know, having those comparisons, and whilst my brother was overseas and actively serving, just thinking how false that was, that, you know, I could go to the game and it was guaranteed that I'd be coming home, and, you know, that wasn't his luxury. So, so those comparisons, whilst, you know, I can completely appreciate them, I don't think they're totally accurate or apt all the time.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think we've all fall into that trap at times of making the comparison, because I guess there are comparisons, but at the same point, you can't compare. And I totally understand what you mean. So when we come to Anzac Day today, what does it mean to you and to your family? Is it celebrated? Is it recognised? How is it recognised when it has more significance to you compared to another family where there isn't an active serviceman involved?
I think it's just a great day to pause, reflect, and appreciate what our ancestors have gone through, and, you know, my family's got a decorated history of service, First World War and Second World War, and then obviously the attachment with my brother who's currently serving. It's a really good day for us to reflect and appreciate and share that appreciation to my brother and the broader services community for what they give up and sacrifice for us to live pretty safe and happy lives.
Now, my mum is very big on family history, and we've had, like I'm sure most families, in fact probably all families, have had someone back in the family lineage that has represented our country at war. And it's a very big day for her and our family. But tell us about Ancestry.com and how you can understand more about your family history, because I know it's something you're big on. Reckon there's a lot of families out there that could learn a lot from knowing a bit more about what you're going to talk about.
Absolutely. So Ancestry.com have been able to go through our records from our family of the different times that they've served. So got a great snapshot of my paternal great-grandfather, George William Nelson Cox, who served in the Light Horse in the First World War, and he was there for the duration. He did get a bout of sickness and had to return to Australia for 3 months, but he was serving in the supply line initially in Egypt, he's had some interesting time across there where he ended up wanting to be a soldier, I suppose, be closer to his mates on the front line. And that's the theme that always kept coming back, just that theme of mateship. You couldn't do it for your mates, but I could see through his records. And he actually got a bit of a reprimand for going AWOL, without leave, in Cairo, I think, for about 7 days, and came back and had to still complete his duties. But I think they had to be tied to a post for 2 hours of the day for 2 days. So
right. It's
a pretty brutal situation there. But, he had a great service and luckily came back. And, thank God, because that's why we're here.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. So with Ancestry.com, it's not just about getting names and almost filling out a family tree. You actually
get
a bit more context around what they do.
Exactly. Yeah, so you can have those entire service records from his entire service, and you can go through each of your ancestors to do that, which is fascinating to get an idea of where they were, what their rank was, what, you know, where they moved to, what position they were in, and yeah, gets a really good snapshot of what was happening at the time and what they would have experienced.
Yeah, that's amazing. I reckon my mum is...
To take a walk through their shoes and try and...
Yeah, definitely.
Try and picture it through what they would have been going through at that time. And even thinking, you know, just the trip over there, it's a six-week trip on the ship. And, you know, he got sick and had to come back. That's a six-week trip back to stay for 3 months and then only have another six-week trip back across. So God knows what that 6 weeks on a ship would have been like in those times.
Yeah.
So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. So what you could do is, I know my mum will be doing this after she's listened to this interview, piece it together with free access to select military records at ancestry.com.au. So that's ancestry.com.au. Free access ends April 26. Registration is required and also terms apply. So, Easton, we really appreciate your time and giving you a bit of an insight into your family and the significance of Anzac Day. One last one on the footy. It's a two-part question. Can the Bulldogs get it together? And who is the team to beat this year?
the Doggies can. They certainly can. We've seen glimpses. Need to find that consistency, get that rhythm. And we all know what momentum can do, so hopefully the boys can build that little bit of momentum, get some confidence and roll on from there. In terms of the team to beat, the Baggers are looking pretty good. A few of my mates are big on them and all I keep hearing is lids off, so it seems to be that way.
Yes, it's a scary thought, but I think you might be right. Easton, thanks very much for your time. Enjoy the footy today and good luck with all that is ahead of you.
Appreciate it, mate. Thanks a lot.
Easton Ward joining us there, Western Bulldogs Premiership captain from back in 2016, and his brother is currently serving. He's not in active service at the moment, but currently serving for his country. McLeod Wood is his name. And if you do want to know more about your own family history and who's been involved in serving for Australia, address again, ancestry.com.au. Free access ends April 26, which is, of course, tomorrow.